Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans, chapter 10. We'll read verses 9 through 13 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Romans, chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. Romans, chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And let's finish on verse 13 together. Ready? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you are our God. Thank you that you are a God that hears and answers prayer, especially the prayer that we need to be saved. Father, thank you for a church like our church. It's full, it's busy, it's active. The Holy Spirit's presence is here. And Lord, as things slow down for a few moments, I pray that we would focus and allow that Holy Spirit to work in our hearts today. Hush our mouths, open our minds, and open our hearts so that we could have from heaven what you have for us today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
We read earlier from the book of Romans, one verse I want to point out to you again where the Bible says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now there are many people here today. You are much older than I am. Some of the things that I'll remind you of, you could trace back further into history than I could. I am 48 years old. Now my hair makes me look like I'm 88. But I am 48 years of age. In just a couple of years, I will have lived half a century. I've watched many changes in America in regard to the way that we live. I can remember, some of you won't remember this, but I can. I can remember when telephone numbers were 5 digits long. My telephone number growing up was 25921. Only 5 numbers. We used to have a thing called party lines. When you'd pick up the telephone at home, and this is back before cell phones, you'd pick up the telephone at home, there might be someone else up the block talking on the phone, and there wasn't room for all of us at one time to talk. And you'd pick up the phone, and they were already talking, and you'd listen for a little while. And then you'd say, oh, excuse me, are you on here? And you would hang up. Used to, when you needed to make a long-distance call, you did not dial 1 and a number. You dialed 0, and you asked an operator to help connect you to the long-distance call. We've come a long way in America. I remember when air conditioning was only for rich people. I remember when all tires had inner tubes. I remember, I like this, okay, I'm not as outdated as what I thought. I remember when space travel was just amazing, the thought that anybody would go up into space, and when John Glenn walked on the moon, that was just phenomenal. We were just amazed at it. I remember when computers were these huge, bulky, only used by big corporations and government. I'm talking about computers were the size of this pulpit. They were huge. The possibility of a PC, that's a personal computer, was outrageous to everybody. Now, you can carry a computer in your pocket. I'm getting ready to get a telephone. It's a Blueberry or a Blackberry or a Raspberry or something like that. What's so funny? I'm going to get me one of those, and they said I can have a telephone computer, and I can carry it all in my pocket at one time. Boy, if I could just carry a toaster in my pocket like that, I'd be okay. But I remember back when this thing, all the computer technology, today if you don't know something about computers, you're autistic. You got to know it. Brother Tennis, you know anything about computers? He's already said yes, I do. Okay. I remember when fax technology was revolutionary. I mean, the thought that you could send a piece of paper from one place to another and it come out okay, that was scary. I remember purchasing gas for 49 cents a gallon. 49 cents a gallon. Hey, good news. I was down in Winchester, Virginia this weekend. I bought gas at $1.95 a gallon. Did you ever think we'd be happy about that? I remember when houses only had one bathroom, unless it had the additional bathroom out in the backyard. And we call them bathrooms because you took a bath, not a shower. I hate to say this, but when I was a kid, my mom made me and my brother share bath water. And because I was the oldest, he always got second, and thank God for that. I know some of you and Mr. Clean Jeans are saying, that's gross. You probably did some of it too. But that's how, at our house, we didn't waste water. He had to follow me in that bathtub. And we didn't take showers. We took baths. The thing of a shower, you went to a hotel or someplace fine for that. I remember when wall-to-wall carpet was a luxury, not in every house. That carpet being fluffy and soft like that, and the fact it went all the way out. And hey, the terminology, wall-to-wall carpet, that was big advertising stuff. I remember when people listened to record albums. You say, what's a record album? You go to the Goodwill or you go someplace like that, and it's this great big flat black frisbee thing. It looks like a black CD on steroids. But I remember when you had a record album instead of an iPod and MP3s and CDs. I remember when my mom would curl her hair with these great big old-fashioned curlers, didn't have any electricity or anything to them. She'd put them in her hair and clip them in and then cover it with this great big chunk of cloth. Well, all women used to look like the Arabian people do today, because they'd put those things on and cover their head with this great big thing. And then I can remember when my mom did get an electric hair dryer, it looked like a space helmet hooked up to something. You remember the ones that sat on a desk and had an arm come up and you'd clamp it over your head? They'd turn it on and sound like somebody had a vacuum cleaner sucking water out of your hair. I remember when TV was black and white. It was black and white, and all television went off at midnight. It went off at midnight with the playing of the national anthem. After midnight, the only thing you could watch on TV was this. I remember not having a clothes dryer and mom hanging our clothes out on the line to dry them. I remember when most women canned their own vegetables. I can remember back when women made their own clothing rather than buying them. My mom, most of her clothes she made. Mom made most of my clothes. I remember a sweater that she made for me in particular. I'm still bitter about it. I'll never wear that knitted sweater. I didn't want to wear it back then. Probably will never. Well, it doesn't fit anymore. But I remember when nobody but the rich would buy a pre-made cake. You would have never thought of buying a birthday cake. You would always make it yourself. I remember when just about everybody had a garden. You had a garden, even if it were a very small garden. I can remember that. I remember when teenagers borrowed the parents' car instead of parents borrowing their teenagers' car. I remember when in our homes we made homemade bread. We didn't buy it all. We made homemade bread, and I'll tell you what, there's nothing like smelling homemade bread cooking. Well, there's one thing better than smelling it, and that's tasting it. Oh, with homemade apple butter. Oh, warm. Let's just cancel church and go eat. I remember when teenagers rode bicycles most of the time instead of driving Corvettes. Y'all remember that? A teenager in my generation was not embarrassed about riding a bike. We rode bikes. That was our mode of transportation. You know, you put fancy tires and big stereos in yours. If we had a fancy bike, we thought we were cool, you know? I remember when all men had toolboxes and knew how to use the tools in them. Some of you are laughing, but I remember if a man had to have a toolbox. You had to have a toolbox, and you took it with you. You took it in your car. You had it. You actually knew what those devices in its internal parts were for. I remember when pencils, when I was growing up, I remember we sharpened pencils with a knife out of the drawer. We didn't have an electric device where you stick it in and it goes, argh. Once I found out about one of those, they're cool. I mean, you'd sharpen that thing down all the way to the eraser end just like that. I remember when our organization techniques were cardboard boxes, not Rubbermaid. We used to buy our margarine in tubs, and then those tubs became our bowls for our meals. We did not have a 72-drawer organizational chest that we bought to organize our screws, our nuts, and our bolts. We used baby food jars. We got a jar to throw the nuts and got a jar to throw the washers. And let me tell you something. I don't want to go back to those days. I don't know that we need to go backwards. Those are things that we have bypassed and surpassed in America, and I'm glad of that. I'm glad for that. I don't want any woman in here to go back to the old-fashioned space helmet hair dryer. I wish some of you get your hair done, but I did. But I don't think we ought to go back to that. But there are some old-fashioned things that we need to get back to. And the one that I want to tell you about today, it's what we call the old-time religion. You see, the old-time religion can be traced all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and in God's mind, even further back than that. The old-time religion, we sing a song, give me that old-time religion, but let me say, the old-time religion, it's good enough for me. It is. The old-time religion is the right religion even for today. You see, the old-time religion might be the old-time religion, but it's not the outdated religion. You can't improve on that old-time religion. Now, you might be able to improve the gas mileage of your vehicle, but you can't improve on the old-time religion. We might be able to improve on electricity and all the devices that can be produced or used because of electricity, but we can't improve on the old-time religion. The old-time religion, you see, it was done right the first time, and it needs no corrections. It needs no updates. You know, churches need the old-time religion. America needs the old-time religion. But here's the problem. I don't know if you realize it. There are two old-time religions. There is the right old-time religion, and there is the wrong old-time religion. I wonder, which old-time religion will you choose? Will you choose God's old-time religion? And so, you know, Satan has an old-time religion. See, the minute God came up with what he called his religion or the old-time religion, Satan immediately created an imposter. Satan immediately created that which is wrong. So there's a right old-time religion and there's a wrong old-time religion. And I submit to you today, we need the old-time religion and we need the right old-time religion. Let me talk to you about that for just a little while. I call this sermon, Which Old-Time Religion Will You Choose? Which old-time religion? You see, the wrong old-time religion is traced all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and the right old-time religion is traced all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Let me tell you about the right old-time religion for a little while. You see, first of all, the right old-time religion is based on the truth that man is a sinner. The right old-time religion is based on the fact that man has sinned. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It says in Romans, earlier in the same book, it tells us that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why we need a Savior. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 51:5 says, we are born in iniquity. Isaiah 58, verse number 4 says that we have come out of the womb speaking lies. Do you realize that you're a sinner? You see, the right old-time religion starts out by telling man is a sinner. Do you realize you're a sinner? Oh, and I hate to have to tell you this, but I do. Not only are you a sinner, but you're a bad sinner. You're a bad sinner. We are unable to save ourselves. Hey, old-fashioned leather-lung preachers used to fight sin and talk about sin and yell about sin, and we need to get back to the old-time religion that reminds us man is a sinner. They used to thump their Bibles. They used to preach hell as if it were hot, and it is. Let me tell you something. Adam and Eve realized that they had sinned, and because of it, they would be separated from God, and you can trace the old-time religion all the way back to the fall of Adam and Eve, where sin was said to be sin. The old-time religion was not afraid to say unsaved people are lost, and they're on their way to hell. The old-time religion said you must know and admit that you are a miserable sinner, and then you need to get saved. You see, today, we almost want to whitewash this thing of sin. Folks, the old-time religion said we are sinners. Man has sinned. Man has sinned against God. You have sinned, according to the Word of God. You have sinned against God, and your sin is bad. You see, the right old-time religion tells the truth about man and his sin. And that's where the old-time religion starts in regard to going to heaven someday. Everybody under the sound of my voice, you've got to decide that you are a sinner. You've got to accept that you're a sinner. You've got to believe that you're a sinner. That's where we start the old-time religion. This is something that we don't need to change. And even if you wanted to try to change it, you can't. This is God's plan. Let me tell you this, the right old-time religion is based on the truth that man has sinned. Let me tell you this also. Secondly, the right old-time religion is based on the truth that sin then separates us from God. The right old-time religion then teaches us that our sin separates us from God. The Bible says this, Matthew 25:41, then shall they say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. The Bible says in Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. The Bible says in Mark 9:46, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. The Bible says in Revelation 14:11, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. Revelation 20:14 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, what we call this, and some of you, you look back historically, and you say, boy, that's talking about hell. That's talking about the place you go if you don't get saved. And they would call it hellfire brimstone preaching. And let me say to you, we need hellfire brimstone preaching again today. We need the right old-time religion that says to mankind, you have sinned. We need the right kind of old-time religion preaching that then tells us our sin will separate us from God. We need that old-time religion. We need that kind of preaching. People who, and listen, you say this is bold. Yes, indeed it is, but this is God's plan. This is the old-time religion. People who die without Christ will be separated from God for all eternity. You will die and go to hell. To hell. That's where you'll die and go. You say, are you trying to scare me? You better be scared. That's the old-time religion. That's the old-time religion. We're sinners, and our sin will separate us from God. Better scared now than burning later, baby. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Listen, when you reject Christ, then there is a price to pay. My tie cost me something. My shoes cost me something. Putting my leg up there like that just now cost me something. This microphone that I hold in my hand, it cost me something. This suit that I have on, it cost me something. And your sin cost you something. And my sin cost me something. And that cost is eternal separation from God in hell. You see, the old time religion says, if you don't get saved, you will split hell wide open and burn forever out of the presence of God. That's what the Bible says. We're sinners. Sin will cause us to be separated from God for all eternity. And when you go to hell, the fire will be bad. And I can't explain this to you well enough, but something worse than going to hell and burning in fire for all eternity is going to be the separation from God for all eternity. And you say, why? Because the best part about heaven is not going to be the golden streets. The best part about heaven is going to be the presence of God. And the worst part about hell is not going to be the fiery streets. The worst part about hell is the absence of the presence of God. God is what will make heaven what it is, and the absence of God in hell is what makes hell what it is. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, what our nation needs right now more than anything else. You say, well, we need change, we need change, we need change. You can go ahead and change, change, change. But there's one thing that we cannot change, and you can't afford to change. It's the old-time religion. What America needs right now is the right old-time religion. This nation needs that. James 1:15 says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You see, the old-time religion says we're sinners. The old-time religion says that our sin then can separate us from God for all eternity. Thirdly, the right old-time religion is based on the truth that God initiates a plan to save us from this dilemma. I said number three, the right old-time religion is based on the truth that God initiates a plan to save us from the dilemma. You say, what dilemma? That we're sinners? What dilemma? That because of our sin, we are destined to be separated from God for all eternity? But wait, God said, I don't want that. I don't want to be separated from you. And God came up with a plan. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3, verse number 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Hey, the Bible teaches there is nothing that we can do to save ourselves. Nothing. Nothing. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy he will save us. Nothing. Listen, you getting saved is 100% what God does and 0% what you do. It's all up to God. Country preacher said, God does all the saving and you just do all the letting. You let him save you. See, you've got to understand something. Salvation was God's idea, not man's. Salvation was God's idea, not man's. It is God's simple plan of salvation. It is not man's simple plan of salvation. You see, everyone's a sinner. And because of that sin, the Bible says we will be separated from God for all eternity in hell. And God came along and said, I have got to come up with a plan so I can solve this problem. And the plan is God's plan. The plan was not created by man. The plan was created by God. You've heard the song, Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. And that song is exactly right. The whole plan was it was created in the mind of God, and God made the whole plan for salvation come true. God, the one who we sinned against, initiates reconciliation. It is not you that initiates it. It is him that initiates it. This thing of salvation was God's idea, not man's idea. If you come to God and you say, Lord, listen, I sinned, I agree. And Lord, I see that I will be separated from you for all eternity. And Lord, I'm sorry. And I'm sorry that I sinned against you. And I've decided that I've got an idea. I've got a plan to get me back to you. God say, it's not your plan. I've already got a plan. He say, I sinned. I messed up. So God, I sat down, wrote some things on a napkin here, and I worked out a way for me and you to get back together. God said, throw your napkin away. I wrote a plan a long time ago. Your plan is not adequate. I already have a plan. You say, Lord, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I sinned against you. I realize that I'm going to die and go to hell, and I need to do something to get the relationship back where it needs to be. And God, I've decided my plan is to turn over a new leaf. Now, let me tell you something. God is not going to accept that, but if you will go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, you'll find out after they sinned, they tried some leaves, and it didn't work either. You are not going to turn over a new leaf. You can't come up with your own plan to get back to God. You must follow God's plan. You say, God comes to us and says, salvation is mine. Salvation is my idea. You sinned against me. I decide what comes next. According to the Word of God, we're all sinners. According to the Word of God, that sin will separate us from God for all eternity. According to the Word of God, God said, I came up with my plan. You can't get better than my plan. You can't change my plan. You can't tamper with my plan. I don't want you to add anything to my plan. I am God. You sinned against me. It's my way or a highway to hell. It is my way or not at all. That's what God said. God said, I'm the one that came up with the plan. You may not choose your own plan. The right old time religion taught that God's way was the only way. God's way was not one of many ways. Oh, not at all. It's God's way or not at all. And so, we're sinners. Our sin will separate us from God for all eternity. God is the one that came up with the plan. God told us how it was going to be. The Savior comes to the sinner and presents his plan. It is not vice versa. The sinner does not come to the Savior and say, here's how I'm going to do it. No, the sinner comes to the Savior and says, God, I'll do it your way. Your way. The sinner should not tamper with the plan. The sinner should not try to change the plan. The sinner should not try to add anything to the plan. How dangerous! How dangerous! There's only one plan, and we've got to follow it. We're to accept it. We're to believe it. We're to receive it. But that's all we can do. Let me say this, fourthly. The right old-time religion is based on the truth that salvation is only by a substitutionary death. Salvation is by substitution. In John 1:29, the Bible says this. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God would take away the sin of the world. What he was talking about is Jesus was compared to a lamb, looking back into the Old Testament, when they would use a lamb and the blood of the lamb was shed in an effort to have the sins of the people forgiven. And that's why when John seen Jesus coming, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. This whole thing about Jesus being a lamb is not for him supposed to be pictured as a woolly little creature that's kind that we put out in the Christmas, what do they call those things in the front yard? Yeah, but naked. Those big words always trip me up. Hey, this thing about Jesus being the Lamb of God, it's not just so you can have a lamb in your nativity scene. No, the Lamb of God was going to be slain. The Lamb of God was going to shed its blood. And when John says here of Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, John was saying, right there, salvation. There's our substitution. When Adam and Eve sinned, they realized that they were naked in the Garden of Eden. They ran away from God. They tried some fig leaves to cover their nakedness. And God said, you tried to come up with your own plan. That plan won't work. The Bible says that God slew an animal to make them skins or coats of skin. Why? There's their substitution. Something had to die to cover their sin. And there's a substitution. They got their sins covered by the use of a coat made from a substitutionary death. Jesus died in your place as your substitution. His death gave you a robe of righteousness that covers your filthy sin problem. That goes all the way back to point number one. Everybody's a sinner. Point number two, that sin will separate you from God for all eternity. Point number three, salvation is only by the substitutionary death of someone else. That's God's plan. You say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do it a different way. You can't do it a different way. God created the plan of salvation. You've got to come His way. Somebody's blood had to be shed. It had to be perfect blood and sinless blood. Jesus was the only one that qualified. He died in your place. He died in my place. The Old Testament sacrifices, what were they? Those were blood sacrifices. They were substitutionary deaths. See, the Jew would sacrifice the lamb. The lamb would die, picturing that the Jew did not have to die if something would die in the Jew's place. Jesus died in your place. He shed his blood in your place. That's God's plan. God said, you're a sinner, you deserve to go to hell. There's only one way I'm going to let you get to heaven. Somebody has to die in your place. We say, God, who could die in our place? God said, they have to be perfect. We said, there's no human being that's perfect. Jesus said, Father, I'll go. God said, I'll take it. He came down, he died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you. He did all that because you couldn't do it for yourself. You couldn't do it. That's God's plan. That's the old time religion. You say, well, I don't like that bloody way. It's the only way. It's the only way. The old-time religion teaches clearly you must be born again. The old-time religion teaches clearly you're a sinner. It teaches your sin will separate you from God. It teaches that God has decided the plan of salvation. It's not up to man. It's up to God. The old-time religion teaches you can't save yourself. There had to be a substitution for your death. It's not joining the church. It's a substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. Salvation is not getting baptized. It is the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. It is not taking Holy Communion. It is the death of Jesus Christ in your place. It's not giving your money to the church. It is the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. It's not doing good deeds. Somebody had to die. Somebody had to die. Man said, well, let's try giving money. God said, I'm not going to let you give money to get saved. Somebody has to die. The man comes along and man says, well, let's get them baptized. God said, I'm not going to accept that. Somebody has to die. Man comes along and says, well, how about I join the church? God said, that's not adequate. Somebody has to die. Who was that? Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. He died in your place. He died in my place. We couldn't do it for ourselves. That's the substitutionary death. The old, right, old-time religion demands a perfect substitutionary death in regard to salvation. Jesus died in your place. Let me say this. The right old time religion is based on the truth that you must receive God's gift. You've got to receive it. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation is a gift to you from God. The way you get it is to simply receive it. It's like getting married. You say, I do. You say, I do. You say, well, what comes after that? Well, after that, you're supposed to do right and live right. But you don't do right and live right to get it. It's a free gift. Now, after you get married, there are going to be some things required of you. Thank you, Brother Williamson. This gift called salvation, is from God to you. The gift was paid for by Jesus Christ, by his substitutionary death. It's the only way to get to heaven. The old-time religion, you are saved or you are not saved. It teaches that. You're either saved or you're not. You say, based on what? You've either received the gift of salvation or you have not. There's no halfway in between. You've either accepted it or you have not. If you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, you then have rejected him as Savior. To say, well, I've not decided yet, that puts you in the reject category. But you say, well, I've not decided yet. Well, you might be right on the threshold of deciding, but there's only one line drawn. You're either in or you're out. You're either off or you're on. You're either up or you're down. You're either hot or you're cold. You're either saved or you're lost. So there's no halfway in between. You have either said, I am a sinner. The penalty for sin is death and hell separated from God from all eternity. God made a plan. Jesus died for me, was buried for me, and resurrected for me. I am going to accept it and go to heaven. I'm going to reject it and go to hell. You stand in one of those two positions. You have accepted or you have rejected. If I were you, I'd take the gift. Take the gift. You shouldn't just understand it. You need to accept it. You shouldn't just admire it. You should accept it. You shouldn't just agree with it. Accept it. Take it today. What is that? It's the old-time religion. The old time religion is not difficult. Everybody's a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, paid that penalty for us. Now we have to choose to accept it or reject it. Folks, let me tell you, whoever you are, in the balcony, on the lower floor, wherever you're at, today, you've got to make a decision. You'll either accept it or you have rejected it. Some here, you've already accepted Christ as Savior. You know you're saved, but for those that have not, you walk out these doors today having accepted Christ as Savior or rejecting Christ as Savior. You have no choice. So I'm going to shut you off at this very moment. You've already heard the gospel. You've already heard the plan. You'll accept it or you'll reject it. You say, well, I'll tell you what, I think I understand it. Understanding it's not enough. You have to accept Him. You say, well, I admire that. Admiring it won't get you to heaven. You've got to accept it. You say, but listen, I'm in agreement with it. You can agree with it all day long, but this is a personal issue between you and God, and you'll either accept Christ or reject Christ today. Today. What is that? That's the old-time religion. Churches everywhere, and I don't say this to be unkind to other churches. Churches everywhere will have church this morning, and they will not ask people to make a decision about Jesus. And I'm just going to tell you, that's not right. You say, well, Brother Owens, I feel like I'm under some pressure right now. You're under pressure right now because you're in the midst of some people that want to tell you the truth. You say, I feel some pressure right now. I'm going to have to make a decision. I realize that. And I'm not doing that to hurt you. I'm doing it to help you. Take it. Just take it. It's all paid for. It's all taken care of. It's paid in full. It's ready for you. He did it for you. That's the old-time religion. That's what the old-time religion is. Take it. Hey, but wait a minute. There is a second old-time religion. The first old-time religion can be traced all the way back to the Garden of Eden. But there is a second old-time religion. The wrong one. The wrong one. I just told you about the right one. There's the wrong one. It's as old as the right old-time religion. Why? Because the very moment we got the right old-time religion, the death of an animal to cover sins of the people to look forward to the coming of the Messiah, the devil said, I better do something. I better mimic that. I better get a counterfeit. I better do something. They're going to accept that free gift. I better figure out what I can do. You see, the devil wanted to pronounce an immediate false plan to confuse people. An imposter religion. The devil's imitation old-time religion. So you need to understand something. There are two old-time religions. There's the right old-time religion, the one I just taught you from the Bible, and there is the wrong old-time religion. See, the second old-time religion is Satan's old-time way. Guess what? Satan's got an old-time religion. It has not changed. He's just trying to take people to hell. He's smart enough to know, hey, Satan's original plan was adequate. He's been taking people to hell for centuries because of it. You see, Adam and Eve, they fell. They took fig leaves to try to cover their nakedness. What was that? That was their own plan. That was a no bloodshed plan. That was a no Jesus plan. The right old time religion was a substitutionary death. Listen to me. Satan says, you go ahead, you believe, and you do anything you want. Just don't go to Jesus. Right. You go to any church you want. You do any good deeds you want. You get baptized a million times. Hi, Mrs. Martin. You get baptized a million times if you want. You turn over every new leaf. You give up everything. Just don't trust Jesus' plan. You pick it, baby. You do what you want. You believe what you want. You take what doctrine you want. Just don't pick the right one. Pick your poison. Just don't pick his medicine. That's it. Adam and Eve said, we'll pick our own way. God came along and said, your way won't be adequate. We'll slay an animal to picture Jesus. Cain and Abel. Both were told to give sacrifices. One gave a sacrifice of an animal that was shed blood, pointing to the Messiah. The other went the other route, and God said, "You're wrong. You're right." Now listen to me. You listen to me. It wouldn't have mattered what Cain chose to do. Anything outside what God commanded would send Cain straight to hell. Well, I'm going to do it my way. Brother Holland, you're a Baptist. I haven't said anything about Baptists today. I've showed you God's plan of salvation. Hey, Moses and the children of Israel, the Passover, while they were in captivity. I tell you what happened. God said, the death angel is going to come through the land. In the night, anyone who does not take blood from a pure lamb and spread it on the doorpost of their house, the firstborn child in that home will die. So the death angel of God is going to come through the land. Everybody should take the blood of a lamb, put it on the doorpost of their house, and if they do that, that obedience will cause them to live. The lack of that obedience is going to send their firstborn child to death. Can I tell you something? Can I tell you what some might have wanted to do? Somebody might have said, you know what? I know God said that he wanted that blood. I know God said he wanted the blood of a lamb. Now what's that picture? Jesus Christ, the one way to heaven. The only way to heaven. I'm going to guess some idiot said, you know what I think I'll do? I'm not going to put blood on my doorpost. I think I'm going to take my church membership certificate and I'll mail it to the doorpost, but no blood. And if they did it, their child died. So you know what? I'll splash some water on there to picture baptism. Well, their firstborn child would die because God said blood. Maybe I'm going to turn over a new leaf. So he nailed some leaves up there. God wasn't looking for leaves. God wasn't looking for water. God wasn't looking for church membership. God wasn't looking for their merit badges for being in the Boy Scouts. God said, I'm looking for blood. Perfect blood. I'm looking for the blood of the Lamb, and that's the only thing that will work. You see, the devil's got an old-time religion. He said, you pick anything except for the thing that God wants you to use. See, there are two old-time religions, the right one and the wrong one. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? The wrong old-time religion minimizes that. The Bible says, you know, we sing the song, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, there are people that say, that's too strict. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Exactly. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Says who? God. God said so. You'll come God's way or no way. I didn't say you'd come Jeff Owens' way or no way. I didn't say you'd come the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church's way or no way. I'm telling you, you better take that old black book, you better believe it's a book that God wrote, and you better believe that God made a plan, and God said, it's my way or no way. That means you got to decide. You got to understand you're a sinner, that sinners go to hell, and Jesus made a plan. He accepts no other plan. You humble yourself and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. Commit in my heart. I'll take Jesus as my Savior. You ask him to save you. You receive it, or you're not going to heaven. He said, but my dad's a pastor. That's fine and dandy. I'm glad of that, but that won't get you to heaven. You see, the wrong old-time religion says the right one is too limited. The wrong old-time religion says, my pride demands that I do some of the work to save myself. Your pride will send you to hell then. The wrong old-time religion says, I've got to pay my own way. Then you'll pay your own way straight to hell. The wrong old-time religion says, well, God wouldn't send anybody to hell. You can go ahead and believe that all the way to hell if you want. The wrong old-time religion says, well, all of God's creatures will go to heaven. You can believe that all you want, but there's a hell and people go to it. The wrong old-time religion says that it's 50% man, it's 50% Jesus. I'm sorry. You don't qualify for your 50%. The wrong old-time religion says it's Jesus plus baptism. No, it's Jesus plus nothing. The wrong old-time religion says it's Jesus plus church membership. No, it's Jesus plus nothing. The wrong old-time religion says salvation is Jesus plus good works. No, it's Jesus plus nothing. The wrong old-time religion says it's Jesus plus communion. No, it's Jesus plus nothing. The wrong old-time religion says it's Jesus plus separation from the world. No, it is Jesus plus nothing, minus nothing. You've got to realize He's the Savior. He's the sinless Savior, born of a virgin. He died for you, buried for you, resurrected for you. Now it's up to you. What are you going to do? You'll either accept or reject. That is the old time religion. And so what's the devil say to you? Do anything but that. Pick your excuse for not doing that. The devil said, gotcha. Pick your reasoning for not taking care of it. The devil says, gotcha. Gotcha. Devil said, God comes along and said, I'm going to give you one simple, easy to follow, free, paid in full plan. Devil comes along and says, I'll give you the 99 billion other ways. Do what you want. God said, you better pick the one. You better pick the easy one. You better pick my plan. And if you've never done it, then you've rejected it. You need to get saved. You say, when? Today. Today. Today's the day to take care of that. See, there's two old-time religions. The one plan Jesus gave us, and then the devil's plan, which is you do anything you want as long as you don't pick Jesus' plan. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.